Welcome to the MBS podcast. This is episode number one. Are you ready for GDPR? Your hosts today for the MBS podcast are Mark Polino, Belinda Allen, and Sean Dorward. MBS podcast, where Mark, Belinda, and Sean talk about Microsoft business and stuff. Warning, we often geek out. Today we'll be talking about GDPR. Do you know what GDPR is and does it affect you? Do you do business with European citizens? The General Data Protection Regulation, or GDPR, is a regulation in European law on data protection and privacy for the individuals within the European Union. It addresses the export of personal data outside the EU. If you have business transactions with any individual in Europe, you might be affected. This podcast was recorded on March 16, 2018. Our sponsor today is FastPath. Visit their site at gofastpath.com. This podcast is the opinions and ideas of three Microsoft MVPs who are wrong a lot. The topic for today is the GDPR, which stands for General Data Protection Regulation. This is something that really affects the European nations and countries. So, Mark, could you kind of give us a brief background of what this is?
Sure. So the idea behind GDPR is it's really a privacy regulation. As best I've been able to come up with, the intent was to give people more control over their data. So I just recently read one of Kevin Mitnick's new books. He was an ex-hacker, and he talks about, you know, all the different ways that people collect your data nowadays, whether it's AT&T because you're wandering around with a cell phone, or somebody else because you walk past their cameras, or, you know, use their loyalty card, those types of things. So the intent was for you to be able to say, I want to know all of the data you have about me, and then give people control to be able to say, I want you to stop doing things with my data. I want you to stop processing my data or not process it anymore. Or I want you to basically forget me. And there's a right to be forgotten that's built in. That seems to work fairly well if I'm using a loyalty card, or perhaps I'm surfing the web and Google is tracking me, you know, those kinds of things. It gets to be a whole lot harder when you start talking about ERP systems or other systems that have other laws that apply.
So one more question before Sean and I jump in and start giving thoughts to this. So an individual can say, hey, take me off here. Out of your records because I no longer wish to have commerce reactions with, or commerce dealings with you. How does it affect U.S. companies?
So it really affects members of the EU, and by members we mean people and human beings as distinguished from corporations or other business organizations that may have rights as, quote, people. In the courts, this law directly is designed for human beings. There are a bunch of rules. So there's some size limits in the company. If you have a very small company, you may not fall under this. What it affects is folks who are doing business with European citizens. So if you sell in Europe, have a presence in Europe, you are absolutely, totally covered under this, especially if you're of any kind of size. I think it's 250 employees or larger, but don't quote me on that. I'd have to double check that, but I believe that's the number. So it's not, you know, Bob's Bait Sushi and whatever in Minnesota. If you sell a lure to somebody in the EU, you're not necessarily subject to all of this. But there are plenty of, you know, mid-sized companies here in the US that sell into Europe. I would suspect there's some challenges with respect to, you know, how this is going to be enforced. You know, if you are a 300-person company who primarily sells over a website and you sell some stuff into Europe, certainly you could be subject to this, but at the same time, they're probably not going to show up on your doorstep if you don't comply. If you're Microsoft or Apple or Google or somebody like that, then absolutely you're going to have to comply, and the fines can be significant, which is really what's scaring a lot of people. The fines are 20 million euro or up to 4% of revenue. So it can be nasty, and everybody's just kind of waiting to see when this goes into effect in May. You know, are they going to pick someone and make an example out of them? Are there going to be some slap on the wrist while people kind of get used to the law? What is this going to look like from an enforcement standpoint?
Right, and the date that it's supposed to begin is May 25th of this year, 2018. So, Sean, based on something Mark just said, I am feeling a little bit better. He put a number on the number of employees that we have, because I've been primarily worried about my mother-in-law, who has a interior fabric store on eBay, and she's basically a one-man shop, but she does sell to Europe a lot. I don't want her to have to deal with all this, because that means I would be dealing with all this. And so I'm a little relieved based on some of my customers, but Sean, do you think you have any customers that you're going to be dealing with that might be affected by this?
I do think I have customers who are affected by this. They do some business in some companies in the EU, and they've been preparing. You know, the regulation was announced, I guess, a little bit over a year ahead of the sort of implementation date. So businesses have had time to prepare. I think what's interesting about it is, you know, there was sort of this kind of old, archaic regulation in place already that some people knew of, mostly people that lived in Europe. But this really brings it to a much more modern and more business accountability into play, which I'm pretty fond of. I really like this. I'm not sure how far it'll go or how it will really impact individuals, but just interacting with those customers and helping them understand what they need to do to sort of prove out that someone has opted in to receive their information. I think that's the biggest question. Is if the controller were to come back and say, you know, how did you get permission to use Sean's email address? The business has to now prove that. I think that's the big difference. Generally speaking, you know, when you communicate via email, for example, that's what this particular customer does, is they want to communicate with good leads or good customers. So they prefer to have a lean distribution list anyway. So I think they're kind of in favor of this as well.
And I read something this week that made me feel a bit better about this, because when I first started talking about it, the three of us recently went to the MVP summit at the Microsoft office, and many of our evening conversations we were talking about this very topic. But I kept thinking about it from a marketing perspective. It's like, you know, typically marketers want to know where their customers are. And when they want to know that, they don't necessarily need to know who they are, although that could be very helpful in creating personas and custom marketing plans, but they really want to know where they are in that kind of descriptive analytics. And so I was like, well, how much information has to be removed? And I did read that they're not necessarily requiring the removal of like the city, state, postal code or country. So they're really after that unique information. So that did make me feel a little bit better, but yeah, it's kind of a scary thing. And as people are asking to be removed, I mean, one of the first things I said to Mark was, how do you prove a negative? How do you prove that their data's not in there? Have you come up with a way yet, Mark?
I have not. And, you know, in today's environment, if I have data, regardless of where I have data, I might have it in a database, but then someone has moved it to a spreadsheet for additional analysis. It's been pushed up to maybe Power BI or something else. And so finding all of that data is going to be part of the challenge as well. And I think that's what we're seeing with Microsoft. They are shutting down a lot of things. An example is Microsoft Connect, which was used to collect suggestions for various ERP and other pieces of Microsoft software. They're shutting that down and migrating it to another site because they were not previously collecting the data in a way that they could readily identify it. So effectively now, when you sign into those things, you're not going to be able to be anonymous. You're going to have to use a consistent login. It will probably be your Microsoft login. But that allows them to now have that data in a way that when you ask for it, they can actually go and find it.
I did not know that was one of the reasons that they moved out of Connect.
I haven't heard that directly, but I've seen enough of that, and we heard some anecdotal things along the way that's the only thing that makes sense. Those sites aren't collecting a lot of private information. Basically, you're going in there and you're making what is a very public suggestion, but because people could create an account for just that site, they could do anonymous things. There's really no way for Microsoft to tell that was you to be able to go and find your information. So if they've got a unified picture of an individual, then it's a whole lot easier to go and find that. And in somewhat ironic fashion, that also means that they now know more about you than they ever did before.
And you know how I always oversimplify things so, in my own head so I could file them away. And so to me, this whole GDPR thing, I just wanted to share this with you because it's a stupid Belindaism. It's like the do not call list for email addresses in Europe, right? I mean, that's kind of how
yes.
I squirrel it away in my head.
Yeah, it's a little more complicated than that in that, you know, if someone asks to be forgotten and you actually have accounting data on them, there are other laws in place that are going to really prevent you from deleting that data. If you could delete or anonymize accounting data, you've basically created a money laundering, you know, paradise there. So I don't think that companies are going to be required to delete that data. And Microsoft and a couple of others have taken pretty public stands at this point that for ERP data, it's required for audit, it's required for tax compliance, it's required for all kinds of other things. The trickier part there is going to be if they ask to stop processing their data. I'm not sure we have a good definition of processing. You know, does that mean that they've asked me not to process their data if I then move that data into a test company for people to test and work with on the accounting side? Have I now reprocessed their data and violated the law in that way? And there are other questions about being removed from backups. You know, if it is legitimate and you should be removing them for whatever system you're talking about, you know, removing them from backups and those types of things, there are some questions around that. So it's probably more complicated than people really want it to be. I think we're just going to have to see where it lands here, and some people are going to get hurt.
That was an oversimplification of the do not call, but basically, I think they're really trying to avoid people selling list, their customer list, and ensuring that they're protecting their, especially in lieu of all of the hacking that's gone on, ensuring the data's protected.
I think so, too, and putting some real limits around it. You know, we don't want someone to hold our data forever. There's often a point at which we're just no longer doing business with someone, so it's 5 years down the road. Why are you still hanging on to my data?
Right. I think it's important for all of us as Microsoft partners to keep spreading the word, even if we don't know. In my case, I can't exactly explain this to somebody, but I can say if you're selling to people in Europe, it is worth your time and investment to go and spend time with your CPA and make sure, or is the CPA the right person to go to, but to make sure that you're compliant.
Yeah, even if you're just marketing, right, or attempting to sell in the EU, that's a big area. I know there's some parts to this that specifically say you have to give real world language and explanation to someone before they opt in to be a part of your marketing campaign and what you're going to do with their data. I'm not sure how real world that will be. You know, right now when you see that, you pretty much need a law degree to interpret some of the things, but I see that change as being welcoming to citizens of the EU. I know it would be to me. I feel like if we did this in the US, I feel like I would still get emails from, you know, Prince Amarari from Nigeria who wants to send me his fortune for just a small fee.
Do it.
I think my email would be a bit more manageable and I would get the solicitations that I welcome rather than just, I don't know where sometimes how businesses get my email address, but or my mailing address.
Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't mind seeing something like that here in the US. I think I'm willing to wait a couple of years and see how this falls out in the EU to see what parts of it work and what parts don't. But I would love to see some of this here in the US.
Absolutely. You know, you guys have heard me talk about this. Every time I enter in a password, I was in password, we'll keep this G-rated, HE double toothpick this morning, trying to make sure all my passwords for Office 365 accounts. So I try to keep the passwords the same for all of them, and it was time to update them, and it was just a nightmare. But I hate hackers, and I hate meth heads, because I hate having to key in complex passwords and keep changing them, and I hate having to buy my Sudafed, which you could tell I need today, from the pharmacist. So I start mumbling about those two every time I'm at the pharmacist, and the pharmacist looks at me like, why do we care about hackers? And so it's all the same to me. So I would like to see this in the
So wait, just to be clear, you stand in line at the pharmacist and mumble about meth heads? That seems like a challenge, Belinda.
Meth heads and hackers. I hate them both. So
I see.
Yeah, so I might be in Europe buying something on my next vacation, and also fussing about GDPR. Yeah, this is an interesting topic, and I think it will behoove any business that does business in any U.S. business that does business in Europe to at least have the question and to try to thoroughly think out, or at least go to your CPA and have the conversation. It's going to be interesting, and I think it's also going to be interesting to see if it does create any more security levels as far as keeping data, you know, on individuals.
Yeah, I don't think companies can afford to ignore this.
Yeah. Yep.
I agree. What's also interesting to me, I know this is sort of GDPR, but a little off topic, what's also interesting to me is the way social media companies are going to comply with this. So Mark had mentioned about how cell phone companies track our movements and social media does. Right now, I know Facebook and other media platforms are leveraging a lot of metrics about me to sell campaigns to businesses. And I feel certain there's having to be some adaptation for the way that works in the EU. It's just interesting to me how that power goes to the individual now, and they can control, you know, whether or not that pans out, but they'll be able to control whether that data can even be kept by Facebook or by YouTube or whoever it is.
Yeah, and I'm curious what's going to end up happening with businesses like Amazon and eBay, which are U.S.-based and do a lot of business in Europe, because they tend to sell through the small business person who isn't going to meet that criteria of the 300 employees, so, or whatever that number is. But they're big players, and they're the ones doing the collecting of the information. So I'm curious, because I could see them pushing that along to the smaller company to deal with, because they have the money for the lawyers to do it. But they're the ones who are really collecting the information. So I'm anxious to see how that's going to play out with them.
Well, and without going deep into this, there are a couple of layers that are defined in the law in terms of who's collecting the data and who's working with the data afterwards. Just because you're on the front end collecting the data doesn't mean that other people don't have responsibilities around that. If you've transmitted that data or sent it to someone else or those types of things. I mean, conceivably, if I'm using a login from Microsoft or Google or Facebook, and that's the only thing I'm using it for, but I'm using that to log into a third-party site because they're using the OpenAuth, Google, Microsoft, Facebook will have some information on you because they've collected, you know, your info, and then this company that you've logged into will also have collected information about you. So I think that there's going to be more than one level of responsibility. That's defined in the law. It uses a lot of terms like controller, which actually creates some problems because controller's generally a position here in the U.S. on the accounting side, and really they're talking about the data controller from that standpoint.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. And, you know, a lot of marketing tools, website-related tools, particularly inbound marketing tools, they little cookie bits on your machine. So, I mean, you know, that's... Does that fall into here anywhere?
I don't know. You know, I'm not sure that the cookies on your machine are going to be holding information. And so the challenge is, if you say to a company, tell me the information that you have on me, they can come back and say, we have your name, we have your address, and we have the, you know, things that you've bought from us. They may hold your name and your address in a dozen different places. They don't necessarily have to say, we hold your name and address in a dozen different places. They would say, we have your name and address. And if you were to say, well, I'd like you to stop processing my data, then they could still hold it in all of those locations, but they couldn't use it in certain ways. And I think that processing is still kind of vague. I think the intent was transmit it to other people, use it in analyses, those types of things. But, you know, if it's aggregated with other things and no longer personally identifiable and then rolled into analysis, I'm not sure where all of that lands with this.
It'll be kind of entertaining watching this unfold throughout the course of the year, the next 12 months, to see, you know, what kind of changes gets made. Our country can benefit from it after they learn a little bit about this, because I think stuff like this should be available on a very high level for every country not just for international people, but within your own citizens.
I do too, but we do have some weird notions of privacy sometimes. You know, for a long time, your address went into the white pages here in the U.S. unless you intentionally asked to opt out. Every time you write a check, you give someone your routing and transit number and your bank account number. Yet when someone asks for that, we sort of freak out a little bit because I don't want to give them my bank account number. Okay, well, then write me a check. And you just did the exact same thing.
I used to tell my mother, she wouldn't want to put her credit card in the computer. And I'm like, yet you give it to a wait person that you don't know who takes it in the back where you can't see what's going on with it. You know,
Right.
What's the difference?
And the difference, I think, though, is we've gotten to the point where instead of just being in a white pages book in my city, it is now widely available to just about everyone, which is a whole lot scarier than someone has to kind of figure out what city I'm in and go from there. The data is just much more accessible and processed by algorithms rather than human beings. And if it's processed by humans, we know there are some just physical limits on what can be done with that data. But once you start sticking it into machines, we really lose control of that.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of funny you bring up the white pages, because I'm sure everyone of a certain age remembers when the phone book came out. At least as a kid, the first thing I did was open up the white pages and look for our phone number. Kind of like Steve Martin in The Jerk. We're somebody now. And now we all want to be kind of obscure. We don't want anyone to know who we are or where we live. So that's kind of interesting. Any closing thoughts, Sean?
I think the concept of GDPR is a big step forward. I like the idea of it. Like Mark, I think there'll be things that they'll learn from this over the next year or two or more and beyond. And I look forward to a time where the U.S. adopts something very similar. I'm of the mindset where I'm okay if Google or anyone else knows where I have been, sort of to help me, you know, maybe save some money on when I'm buying shoes or things like that. But that's something that I welcome. I like the idea that if I choose to not participate in that I have a path to go in. So I'm interested to see how it works out for you. Maybe we can follow up in a few months to give some feedback on what we've learned.
Oh, that's an excellent idea. I like when Amazon says, hey, based on what you bought, you might be interested in this. I like that. A little bit of machine learning in there, but yeah, of course I would like that. But I like that because sometimes I don't know what I don't know, and there's something I may want that I don't know exists. Any closing thoughts for you, Mark?
I don't know. I'm a little still freaked out sometimes about people tracking things, and companies don't always do a good job with that without still staying G-rated here. When you start getting coupons that show up for tampons every 28 days, that starts to weird people out. Or like the Target scenario where they knew somebody's daughter was pregnant before the dad did.
Oh, yeah, that was an amazing story. So let me interrupt you there, Mark, before you finish your closing thoughts. For those of you who don't know, Target sent this letter out saying, hey, we hear you're expecting. Here are some coupons for things that you might need as you're expecting and then when the baby arrives. And the man who got it went to Target and said, I don't know why you sent this to my house. This isn't right. As it turned out, his teenage daughter was pregnant. Target knew before he did through a series of machine learning and things like that. So, okay, go ahead, Mark.
And so that's creepy. That's not what we want. And yet, you know, Netflix and Amazon still struggle to give me good recommendations for what it is that I want to watch. You know, they're still, I don't know, it's kind of a mess, I guess, at this point. And when you read about companies that continue to collect data or are turning on and collecting location data when you're not using their application and those types of things, I think there's a lot of privacy issues out there. I think the law is a good start. And, you know, if nothing else, you could say, what do you guys collect on me? And then choose whether or not you want to continue that going forward.
What bothers me more is the vulnerability these companies have to being hacked by people who have criminal intent, more so than the fact that they're saying, hey, the example I used recently at an event, we see you're buying larger clothes. Maybe you'd be interested in Nutrisystem. That bothers me less than the people who have criminal intent. I guess this law is trying to address both of those. perhaps. I don't know. I think Sean had a great idea that we should visit this in a couple months and in a future podcast to kind of track it. I think our big word of warning to everyone who's listening today is that now you are aware that the GDPR exists. So by all means, have a conversation in your own organization and with someone who can help guide you through, are you required to follow some of these measures?
Agreed. You can't, ignoring it is the wrong answer. So you need to at least figure out whether it applies to your organization and then take steps from there.
This is true. Okay, so that wraps up our podcast for today. I'd like to thank everyone for attending. I hope you learned a little bit of something about the GDPR. And if you are like most people, when they first heard this conversation, they're like, oh, that doesn't apply to me. And then they start thinking about it and processing the information, and the conversation just keeps on going with it. So it's interesting, and it just might apply to you. This is us wrapping up our very first podcast. Thank you, Mark, our security expert here. So I appreciate that. And thank you, Sean. This is Belinda Allen. Everyone have a great day.
From Mark, Belinda, and Sean, thanks for listening to the MBS podcast today. Visit our site, mbspodcast.com, for a listing of all podcasts and more about your host. From our sponsor, FastPath, and Mark, Belinda, and Sean, have a great day and keep geeking out.